Ben Volen, a senior NFL writer with the Boston Globe, God knows he hasn't talked about Tom Brady enough, so we've decided to bring him in on this Friday, February 28th. Ben, thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me. You guys sound like Bob Ross a little bit. Here's a happy little lake and a nice little bird and a happy little tree up here in the forest.
If you saw, we got the same hair too. We got the froze here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's basic. That's basically right.
The Bob Ross, God rest his soul, the Bob Ross fro.
So is Giselle getting nervous? This is what I'm reading. I'm hearing. I don't know who would say it. Maybe TMZ. Is Giselle getting nervous?
What would she be getting nervous about?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, hubby's gonna play someplace.
Impatient.
Impatient would be. Yeah, impatient. Impatient. She wants to know.
Yeah, I think so. She went on Instagram yesterday. There's like an Instagram live chat. And she actually said she's kind of anxious to see where she's going to be living this year. And I guess that means, you know, instead of like Brady and his family setting up a home base in New York and then him playing wherever, I guess they're going to, you know, kind of follow him wherever he signs. So, yeah, it's kind of an important decision. Is it going to be Tennessee, Vegas, L.A.? Is it going to be back here in Foxborough? I mean, yeah, I think for the family, there is some anxiety, but also some excitement to see what it could potentially lead to.
So, well, Ben, you just laid out a bunch of different options here, but I forget who did the "It's not looking good for New England" tweet this week or story this week. There's a lot of tea leaves being read here, but where, you know, how much of this is kind of gamesmanship? Do you think, you know, trying to make it appear that Tom Brady might want to go somewhere or be somewhere else? And how much do you think is real? You know, the notion that he is ready to go and ready to relocate and ready to test free agency for the first time.
I mean, that's the thing. It's really hard to separate what's real and what's just, you know, leverage and posturing. And, you know, yesterday in Indianapolis was like a meeting of all these agents at the combine and all these reporters there too. And all of a sudden there was a deluge of reports. Brady's unhappy. Brady hasn't, or the Patriots haven't reached out yet. And I'd be shocked if he returned at this point. I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe that's coming right from the agents, just trying to get the Patriots to show Brady some love a little bit and come to the table. So it's impossible to know what is really the motivation behind some of these reports right now. I've maintained from the beginning that I've kind of expected all this, that the Patriots would play it cool and that you hear, you know, a lot of consternation and people getting nervous, and it looks like he's out the door and he might leave. I mean, that's still a very realistic possibility, but I've always felt that the Patriots will make something happen, you know, relatively last minute. You know, Belichick, Robert Kraft, they'll step up. I don't think they're ready to move on yet. I think they still want Tom Brady. What I can't quantify is, you know, whether Brady just wants out, if he just wants a new challenge. I don't think the relationship is irreparable, but Brady just might want to do something else now. I think his best situation to win another championship and to play well into his mid-40s is to come back to New England, where it's familiar and he's got Julian Edelman and Josh McDaniels and the best coach ever and Bill Belichick. So I think it makes sense for him to return. But if he wants to go out there, I mean, he's a free agent and there are going to be offers for him and no one can stop him.
Ben, where do you, if he does go out there, you know, we've kicked around the same names everybody else has kicked around, and you can always, in each instance, you can, or shouldn't say in each instance, but a lot of the instances, you look at the situation, go, okay, it would work out for this, it would work out for this reason, it would work out for this reason, but it doesn't bring him closer to a championship, at least in most of the instances we're looking at, the teams we're looking at, keep calling them San Diego, the LA Chargers, whomever. Where do you think Tom Brady would legitimately look?
I mean, I think he would look at the Chargers and the Raiders. The Raiders, you know, maybe they were like an 8-8, 9-7 team that you get them better quarterback play, and maybe they are a 12-4 team. You know, I'm not sure, you know, how close they really are. They have some real issues there. I think the Tennessee Titans are a team that people look at that way. Like, well, you know, they got to the AFC Championship game, but their quarterback play was only so-so with Ryan Tannehill. You put Tom Brady there, and that puts them over the top. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I believe that. I think Tannehill was awesome last year, and that system fit him very well. And I think they'd be crazy to scratch everything and start over with a 43-year-old quarterback instead of just building on what they've done. But you do hear people that is the theory, that Tennessee was, you know, a pretty good team with Tannehill, but Brady would put them over the top. again, the team I look at, I'm starting to drive this train a lot more. I've heard some buzz on them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think they've got some really intriguing pieces with some great wide receivers and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. The defense was surprisingly good against with Todd Bowles as their defensive coordinator last year. I think the Bucs defense is certainly improving. They've got $80 million in cap space. They've got, you know, their division is not too daunting. Like, I think the Buccaneers actually have a lot to offer Brady if he were to leave. But, I, you know, at the end of the day, the best place to win, I think, is right here in New England. But is that what it's about? Is it just winning, or does he want to go out and win on his own and do it without Bill Belichick and try to prove that? So none of us can really quantify that right now, which is why I think you're still, you know, you're seeing all these rumors, and Brady's just sitting back, and I think he's loving this. I think he's just enjoying the attention that's drawing.
Yeah, look, you might be right. And I'm trying to imagine him as a Tampa Bay Buck, you know, and, you know, but you're right about, you know, if Jameis Winston hadn't thrown a million interceptions there last year, that, you know, they might be a playoff team. They're close. They're talented. Just, it's just hard to picture. I guess the other question would be what, you know, there was some slippage with Brady last year, I think. A lot of people think. Like, what is he at this stage? Is he a guy who could step in and actually take a team the next step? Or is he going to be like Peyton Manning that very last season where, you know, Peyton Manning needed he won a Super Bowl, but he needed a great team to carry him to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think he's Peyton Manning because he's not injured. Brady, you know, he's still in good football shape, and his mind, I think, is sharp as ever. Now, he did not have a good season, no question. And I don't think you can put it all on the pieces around him. I think a lot of it had to do with the pieces around him, but it really affected him as well. And, you know, he's a little bit of a relic in today's NFL in that he does not have good mobility. And, I mean, look at all the top quarterbacks now. They can all move. They're all tremendous athletes. And that's another reason. Like, I don't, you know, if you're looking for a quarterback, I think these teams, most of them, would rather get a young athletic kid that they can develop, you know, instead of going to a 43-year-old pocket quarterback like Tom Brady. But I still think, you know, obviously from the pocket, I don't think there are many better quarterbacks than Tom Brady. He's, like I said, his body is still good. He's not breaking down at all. I think he has good football in him. And I think the Patriots can add a receiver, add a tight end, maybe beef up the offensive line a bit and make another run at this thing. Like, I don't think the Patriots are necessarily done. They can still do it. So I don't think Brady is, he's certainly not Peyton Manning. He's not washed, but you know, there's also a lot of risk too in going to a new team with a new system and lack of familiarity and all that. So, you know, there are a lot of things for him to weigh, but maybe he wants that challenge. That's again, the thing I can't really quantify.
So if he left, you know, they've got Jarrett Stidham there as the backup, you know, we haven't seen really, past Brady backups, you know, Matt Castle looked good as a Patriot, didn't look good for anybody else. That Garoppolo guy turned out okay. Jacoby Brissett's pretty good, but, you know, maybe not a total world beater. Do they think they have the next quarterback there in Jarrett Stidham?
No, I can't imagine they do. Jarrett Stidham was a fourth-round pick last year. He threw four passes, and one of them was a pick six. So, you know, you're going to see a lot. You're already seeing it. You know, reports of the Patriots loved him behind the scenes and everything. Like, I'm sure they do, but that's a lot different than can he go out there and play. And that's another reason why I think the Patriots are ultimately going to bring Brady back is they're not prepared to lose him. They got rid of their insurance policy in Jimmy Garoppolo and haven't really found one behind Brady. You know, Brett Favre had Aaron Rodgers behind him. Peyton, the Colts had Andrew Luck in their back pocket. Joe Montana, the Niners had Steve Young. The Patriots don't have anyone. They don't have the succession plan. And, yeah, they can go out and trade for Andy Dalton or whatever, sign Teddy Bridgewater, but that's not Tom Brady, and that's not probably your long-term answer. It would be fascinating to see what those quarterbacks could do. Like Andy Dalton, you take him from a bad environment in Cincinnati and then put him in a good environment like New England. That'd be fun to watch. But, you know, Brady is still their best option to win in 2020. So I think the Patriots, you know, Robert Kraft, Belichick, they're just not ready. So I think they're going to step up and bring Brady back. But again, I'm just kind of projecting like everyone else is.
Ben, before we let you run, the NFL CBA is winding up, whatever it is. Negotiations it appears as if we're at the point now where the players have to make a decision. Where do you see this going? Because it really does seem as if there are a group of hardline players, several of whom are pretty big personalities and would seem to carry a lot of weight, I would think, within the organization, who have some issues with the things as they've been presented to them?
I'd be shocked if it didn't pass the player vote at this point.
Really?
The CBA, yes. The J.J. Watts of the world and Aaron Rodgers aren't thrilled with it, but they are far outnumbered in the player body by, ham and egg type of players. Like 60% of the league is on like a minimum contract or something crazy like that. And for those guys, it's, you know, immediate increases of $90,000, $100,000, a couple more roster spots, it's better off-season pay. Like these guys, they just want the immediate raises. And like J.J. Watt, is some of those guys who are complaining publicly are not, the favorites among the players right now.
Okay.
They don't represent the majority of the players. I mean, unfortunately, and you see it's pretty split right now. Like the vote by the player reps, the 32 player reps is like 17-14-1. So there's not, even though they voted for it, there's not much of a majority, but just the regular everyday players who are just trying to make it as long as they can in this league, a couple years, make a little money. It's an immediate raise. And, why wouldn't they want that? So I think ultimately, whenever it's, if it's, you know, next week or the week after, I expect this thing to pass.
Yeah, it's a calculator from the owner's point of view, because they understand that math as well as anybody does.
It's an extra $100,000 to play one more game
for a bunch of disposable guys, though, right?
Yeah.
Guys who come and go, and you know that 17th game is a big deal. Never mind money, but just the wear and tear. I don't think any players love the idea of the 17th game, but I think the owners can do the math in terms of who's in that voting body.
It was a pretty smart offer because it turned the players against themselves.
Yeah.
It really did. And, you know, the union deserves credit, though. I think they fought hard for the regular players, which they didn't just cater to the stars. So I give the union, you know, some credit for that, for doing things that help out the minimum salary guys. The 17-game thing, I don't know. It's extra football. It's one extra game. I think the fans are going to be fine with it. I mean, who doesn't want another week of that? And 16 is already an arbitrary number anyway. It's not like 16 is safe for you, but 17 is going to be dangerous. You're already putting your body at risk, and the players know that going in. So I don't think as many players are as against it as, again, I think it's like the older players, the veterans, the star players. The 17th game means very little to them, but for the regular guys, it means, you know, a big extra paycheck for them.
Ben, it was great of you to do this. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.